This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh my goodness. Sox Degrees this week. We got two people on at the same time for the first time. We got Adam Amin, Stacey King, Bulls announcers, and now Sox announcers. And we didn't start the podcast 2 hours and 3 minutes late with a tarp on.
It would have been nice. It would have made us feel right at home had there been a two-hour delay. But we appreciate you having us on, boys.
Stacey, how was baseball analysis on Friday?
Let's just say I have a new appreciation for what you guys do. My day job's a lot easier than your job. So I came away with a new appreciation for what you guys do for 160-something games. I don't know how you do it, but you should be really taken care of financially for doing those things.
Thank you. This is the whole point. This was the whole point of the podcast. It's just Jason and Len trying to maneuver their way to better deals.
More rightfully money, baby, so. More money.
Hey. Stacey, what was the hardest part, Stacey?
You know, because the game is so slow and there's a lot of dead time in there, so you got to constantly talk, which is not a problem for me. Just, you know, the players knowing their stats, you really got to be in depth in baseball. You know, there's so much stuff to go over in a baseball game because you have so much time. In a basketball game, you know, I can hit one or two points and move on because the game is going so fast. You know, I can tell you, well, last five games, you know, Zach LaVine averaged 24 points and, you know, 8 assists, and then I'm off that topic. But in baseball, you know, you can talk about, you know, Jimenez, you know, hitting, you know, 270 over the last six or seven ball games, four home runs. He had, you know, had a great game against XY pitcher, had a double in that game because there's so much time to talk about and elaborate that stretch that he was on, per se, in basketball.
Adam, I heard the toughest part was DoorDash.
Thankfully, if that's the worst or the most difficult thing that happened on a night, I'm actually okay with it. So we did have a whale of a time trying to get some dinner for
us. I wasn't okay with it. I was highly upset. I'm like, how in the world can you mess up P.F. Chang twice? I ordered P.F. Chang twice. It cost me like $300 and they never delivered my food.
Stacey was kind enough to like, hey, you know, we'll get you some dinner. And I was like, oh, that's really, really kind of you. You know, like he was really excited about doing that. And we were all ready to go. And then the rain delay hit. And then the food delay was just as upsetting, if not more so, and understandably so.
Oh, yeah. My God.
You know, what's funny about baseball, you know, I was just thinking about the diversions you can take in baseball because it's not a linear sport. And basketball, I think hockey, football, you know, all have a little bit of a connective tissue in that generally they're, you know, you're going side to side as you watch the action. Whereas baseball, you have a lot of different angles. And as Stacey, you mentioned a lot of downtime. So you can go in a lot of different directions. You got to be careful, right? You got to pick the right directions. But
yes.
It does lend itself to veering off on occasion.
Yeah. Yeah. I found that to be quite fun, to be honest with you, because like I can just be myself, you know, like I can, you know, add my little humor in when it was there. I just wish it was more action. I wanted some more home runs. I wanted some more strikeouts. The Sox didn't play particularly well, and they would lose on our debut, which kind of sucked. I was looking for some home runs. I was looking to yell sriracha, give me the hot sauce. I didn't get to say any of my good stuff.
Hey, you got a Leury Garcia jumping catch at shortstop.
Oh, yeah. Now that was sweet. I thought that was going to be the start of the night right there. I was like, okay. See, I get spoiled in basketball.
That's where we're at those days, because I could sense, like, because we were trying to kind of, you know, softly walk into this. We were trying to, like, just tread softly into the whole thing. We wanted to get a rhythm early. You know, I've done baseball, obviously, so I kind of had a sense for it, but I wanted to make sure Stacy was comfortable. As soon as that happened, Stacy got excited. You know, obviously, we're in the room together. I can see him get pumped up. I was like, all right, I have the same sense. I'm like, this is it. Yes, this is what we want. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be a fun game. Stacy's going to have some energy. And then it was mostly downhill for that particular night.
Hey, then he went and called you Tito Jackson.
Hey, listen.
Wasn't the first time. Wasn't the first time.
Hey, listen, it was so bad that I was getting excited on long fly balls. I was like excited, you know, warning track balls. I was all excited. I was like, oh, and then oh.
It truly was like a fan, you know, an educated, informed fan, but like a fan appreciating, because that's how you are. Like if you're just having a beer and a hot dog at a game. And you're down the right field line and you're talking to your buddy and then you hear the crack of the bat and a little bit of a gasp from the crowd, you see, all right, this could be a home run. And if it's not, you feel disappointed. And if it is, then you get excited. It really did have that feel to it. And I know you guys have known this because you guys have been in the booth with a lot of different people. And Jason, we referenced the Bill Walton thing, but like, that's kind of how it is. You just, yeah, you're enjoying having somebody whose energy is a little bit more raw and connected to just what's happening in front of them.
I'm curious, and Adam, I know you're pretty active on social media, and Stacy, you know, did you guys check out Twitter? And after the game, did you want to hear what people had to say? Because invariably, a lot of people are going to love it because it's different. A lot of people are going to hate it because it's not the guys they know. And they're going to say, oh, you know, who are these guys? Right. So, you know, I've tried to do a little less of the immediate feedback loop, which can get a little ugly, mm-hmm. but, did Adam, what was your take on everything I saw? People really enjoyed it.
Me too. I think the feedback was overall pretty overwhelmingly positive, I think. And anybody who didn't like it, it was for the reasons that you said. And I am completely used to that on a national level. I think baseball, of all the sports that I do and Jason does and Len, you do the national games too. I think we have a very immediate reaction, a kind of an initial knee-jerk reaction from most baseball fans. I don't think this is the case in basketball as much, although it is a little bit. I imagine it's the same in hockey, but in baseball in particular, because of the length of games, the length of the season, the day in and day out that you spend as a fan with your radio announcer, with your TV announcers, with your crew that you know, anytime any one of us parachute in for anything nationally, we're going to get a little bit of that because we're not what you're used to. And that's fine. I've gotten better about shoving that aside and understanding where people are coming from and not to take it as personally as I definitely did when I was younger. But I thought it was overwhelmingly positive. And I imagine it being Stacy, you know, at least people were going to give you a chance. And if they enjoyed it the way they typically enjoy Stacy, I figured the positive feedback would be there for us.
Yeah, I got nothing but positive feedback. I think people understand, like, hey, look, you know, it's a crossover. You got basketball guys coming over to do baseball games. My attitude was, let's not mess it up and embarrass ourselves or embarrass the White Sox. Be a little knowledgeable, because I did play baseball, so I do know a little bit about baseball. You know, do my research, the quick research that I did going into it. So I was well informed going in there. I think the key for me was to be myself, you know, to like where people are so used to seeing me on Bulls games. Because, you know, we've had some difficult times with the Bulls when we're losing, you know, last year. You know, me and Adam have to keep the crowd engaged. We got to keep the listeners and the viewers engaged. So we're kind of used to that. So, you know, being down six runs, you know.
If that's the equivalent to like a 20 point blowout, we've had a couple of those in our time.
It was kind of easy for us to go back into our normal mode that we're used to doing as far as keeping the viewers engaged. I mean, I was in the grocery store the other day and like, oh my God, you got to do more Sox game. I'm like, oh, no.
Come on.
I'm done.
He's done. He's already out.
I'm retired. I did my one game. I'm retired. I'm done.
Hey, for 3 years when I was parachuting in doing a Bulls game here and there, you were like, when are we doing a Sox game? When are we doing a Sox game?
You know what? You know what, Jason? I do owe you one because you're the one who brought this idea up. So I do owe you a game. So I am
I need to see
open.
It.
I am open to do a game with you because that was our little deal back a couple of years ago that I said I would come in and do a game. And then I saw Bill Walton do it, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be Bill Walton. I'll be a little bit knowledgeable of the game, but I definitely would do a game with you. I will come out of retirement for one more game at some point to do with Jason.
I want to see you. We got to get Stoney with Adam doing a Bulls game. If Bulls game off.
if Stacey wants to take the Phoenix game off or something like that, just while Stoney's out there.
Hey, he can fill in any time he wants to. Does he even know basketball?
DeMar DeRozan is a fantastic player.
Hey, you know, we also can't bury the lead here, Adam. When's your Blackhawks game coming up? Because that's the only team you need to cross off the list. Seriously, Adam, it's impressive. I mean, you've done all four teams, and other than the Blackhawks, you know, you've kind of hit them all, and that's that well deserved, and it doesn't go unnoticed.
I appreciate that. Paul Seldman was nice enough to point that out back in July when I had a Cubs game, and he's like, "Well, where are you at next week?" I said, "Oh, I got the Sox on the South Side next week." And he goes, oh, and then you get the Bears next month, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do the Bears preseason. And he goes, that's the brick. And I was like, it didn't register in my head what he meant by that. I was like, I know what the brick is. It's Jack Brickhouse who did all these teams and all in one calendar year. I don't know how often it's been done. It's really cool to have done that. But I've never associated myself with Jack Brickhouse in any sense other than we kind of had the same job. Other than that, that's a rare air and very cool company. I thought that was cool. And thanks for pointing that out. It was really cool. It was meaningful for sure.
Let's have a little fun here. Let's make let's make our perfect teams together to do games together in Chicago. Like I would love for Pat Foley and Stoney to get together to do a Bulls game. Like, there are combinations we can pull together.
Do you
like,
just want to throw darts at the wall and whoever we land with? Let's do it.
Stacy and Eddie Olczyk together.
Eddie O, that's my man.
And Swirsky doing a Bears game.
Let's do it. Joniak can jump in and do the Cubs or something. We'll make it all work. There's a lot of slots with a lot of, like, very talented people. I'm sure we can make that work.
I often have, and you know, Adam and Jason, you guys do a lot of different sports. So Stacy, you might relate to this, but I often have like these weird dreams where I'm tabbed to do a sport or a game and I have no idea what I'm doing. And I'm like, it's like that being late for class or missing a test or whatever. Do you ever have that, Stacy, where you're like, wait a minute, I'm doing what game tomorrow? Like, I don't know anything about this sport or these teams. I have that dream like once a month.
Yeah, I think, I mean, baseball was it for me. I mean, I watch baseball a lot and I love baseball. I love going to the baseball park more so than watching it on TV. I think the biggest thing for me the other night was we weren't at the ballpark. We had to actually call it from the game. And we know Adam knows how hard it was to do basketball from the TV monitor. But I will say this, you guys have a way nicer setup than we do in our room. They put us in a broom closet. With a lot of cleaning supplies, where you guys get the big two monitors and like four TVs on the wall. I was like, yo, can we get this too? Like, I was like, whoa.
If you guys were wondering why Stacy and I have some of the hijinks we do, I think it's basically the chemicals from the cleaning supplies that have infiltrated us. That's why we get a little goofy on some of these games more than anything else.
But you guys have a great setup. I mean, I was amazed at how that setup was. It made it easier to call the games compared to how we do it. When we do it, Adam is in a separate room. I'm in a separate room. You can't see each other talk, and it's kind of hard to know when to jump in and jump out. But the other night when we did the Sox game, we were probably 8 feet away from each other, and we could actually have a conversation like we would normally do in a real game, like we do at the United Center when we actually can see each other. And it made the game easier to call because I could see him and I know when to jump in, when to jump out, and vice versa.
I know there's something to that, though, too, Jace, because and this is to Len's point, too. Baseball being what it is, it's a non-linear sport. And that's the thing about doing basketball. At least at the very least, it's 10 people self-contained in two planes. I think people have asked Jason, Len, and myself, well, how do you guys do this job? What's different? What's difficult about it in this kind of new era that we've had to make adjustments in? And it's trying to learn how to call baseball, especially a three-dimensional sport. It's up, down, forward, back, and side to side. You have to figure out depth that you have to take a look at in a two-dimensional space on a TV, and you're trying to calculate that and process that. Whereas basketball, football, to a certain extent, they're linear sports. They're two dimensions. Everybody's kind of self-contained in one space. So it's not easy. And what you guys do on a daily basis is difficult. I have to do that a little bit for Fox as well. When we work out of the Big Ten Network, Len's done that in the same space I have. So, you know, it's a lot of adjusting. It really is. And I commend both of you guys, because you guys have done, you know, great work over the last year, considering the circumstances.
I would also throw in the analytics of the game. I mean, they're so important for baseball, the numbers, all these numbers that you have to know, because as you know, the game is a long game, and those numbers become important, especially to fans who follow, who know their team. They want to know, you know, the numbers of, you know, Dallas Keuchel, you know, his numbers over the last five games coming into this. Do they have a chance to win? You know, is he going to be in the rotation, you know, in the playoffs, when the playoff roster is made? There's so many numbers that are important in baseball, whereas in basketball, every number is not important. You know, people want to know, you know, they want to know the basic stuff. But in baseball, man, man, there's a lot of numbers. Ground balls. Yep. How many – what's the percentage of ground balls that he induces every week when he's on the mound? I mean, there's so many different numbers. I was blown away by it. So I commend you guys, man. That's woo, woo.
Well, the one thing I'll say about the other topic first is – it's not as though you couldn't hear each other when you were in separate booths, because the walls are as thin as your average La Quinta.
Hey, yes. You know what? Quit trying to make it sound better than what it is, Jason Bidetti. Don't try to sugarcoat it, because you guys are in the Ritz-Carlton and we're in the Motel 6. Don't leave the light on.
Hey, we're in the Ritz-Carlton of motels. Let's just say
it's a Red Roof Inn, and let's be definitive about it. If you're going to go to the top end motel, it's a Red Roof Inn.
Me and Adam stayed at the hotel with the yellow tape around the outside. So
there was a chalk outline in the room when we walked in our booth.
That's what we do games from.
Hey, when I did that exhibition game, there weren't any cigarette burns.
I don't want to use a black light in there. I don't know what's going on.
No.
What type of horrible things have taken place.
No,
it was so bad. It was so bad. Pat Foley and Eddie O got out of there. They were like, "No, we got to move to a different hotel. This is the basketball room right here. Let them stay over here in the Motel 6. Okay.
Oh my God. Oh,
all right. I'm going to get this thing back on the tracks here, I think.
Wait, hey, that assumes it was ever.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good point. So, this is for all three of you, because you guys, you know, are all baseball and basketball junkies. But, you know, in baseball, it's strikeouts and home runs and walks. And in basketball, it's three pointers and dunks, right? So it's the mid-range jumper that's kind of been lost. It's the ground ball single in baseball that's been lost. I do think baseball has an issue they need to fix a little bit. I guess the question is about the NBA and really the college game as well. Has the three-pointer, just due to math, made it less exciting, as exciting as it is to see guys drain 28-footers? Stacey, do we need more of the 12 to 15-foot jumper back in the game?
Yeah, I think you're slowly seeing it integrate back into the game. You saw it a lot in the finals this past year. Chris Paul was killing in the playoffs with the mid-range jump shot. Kawhi Leonard is always been that guy. A guy we just picked up, DeMar DeRozan, is one of the best mid-range shooters in the game. So I think you're starting to see it come back, because I think people are starting to realize, like, I understand the philosophy of trying to get up as many threes as possible, but my thought process is, if you got guys who can't make them, why take them? You know what I'm saying? So focus more on shots that you can actually make. And when you see the teams who go deep in the playoffs, they are teams that not only can shoot threes, but they have a good mid-range game, you know? And I'd like to see it come back. I think it is coming back. I think you're seeing more and more players saying, hey, I'm not a three-point shooter. My career average is under 30%. I'm not that guy. I'm gonna do the things that I know I can do and to be the best basketball player that I can be. And I'm starting to see a little bit of a turn a little bit.
I think sports in general are pretty cyclical. I do think the time for one cycle or one revolution of some of the analytics to take place takes longer in baseball than it does in basketball. And yeah, the math works out the same way it does in baseball. A home run is, you know, the value of it, the way we look at OPS and slugging and and weighted on base and all of this stuff, we're weighting home runs more than we do, or weighing home runs more than we do any other hit. It's the same thing in the NBA and same thing in basketball in general. But to Stacey's point, there are only so many Steph Currys in the world. There are only so many Damian Lillards. Jay, you saw it during the playoffs and you saw it during the regular season. There's only so much that you can ask of a player who's not named Lillard or Curry or Booker or whatever it may be. And I think when guys realize that, it's easier to implement it back in. The fluidity of basketball makes it easier to implement it. The fact that it's more of a quote-unquote team sport where all five individuals have to work in concert with one another to get the best shot possible. Whereas baseball, I mean, if you're up at the plate with nobody out and nobody on, it's your show. You know, you're just trying to get on base or hit a home run or do whatever is you're capable of individually. Whereas there's a lot more reliance on other people. And I think that's why it's easier to get through some of these cycles in basketball. But I think eventually all of this will come around. It might take a while in baseball. It might take 10 years. But eventually I think there will be more of an implementation of, hey, nobody's guarding this, essentially. Nobody's guarding the mid-range game. Nobody's guarding the hit, the single the other way. Nobody's guarding this. So younger players may be working on being better at hitting the opposite way, maybe looking to manipulate the ball a little bit better the way Ichiro used to. Like, I think that will come back at some point.
For both of you, and you can't answer the same because it's not fair. The most important thing the Bulls have done in the last 18 months is what? Adam first.
Oh, wow. I think getting the head coach in that they want and that has a pedigree. I think that's the biggest difference, because that was step one. Obviously, you have to bring the new front office in. AK and Mark might be at the top of the list, but I feel like to people who are a little bit more casual and are trying to understand why the Bulls have looked completely different in the last year and a half, I think you start with Billy Donovan. That's the first hire that you make to say, we're serious about getting somebody with a pedigree that's been to the playoffs. We want to draw people in. We want a style that's established. We want somebody who is also a little bit flexible and malleable the way that Billy clearly is in terms of finding guys and then adjusting to what they do best. I think that's probably the foundation for how I've seen the last 18 months play out. But there's a lot of good answers, and I'm sure Stacey's got one too.
I honestly think getting the trust of the fan base back, showing that they are going to do whatever it takes to put a winner on the floor. And I thought, from the onset of bringing in Nikola Vucevic last year, making that bold move, training a young player like Wendell Carter Jr., who's a lottery pick, giving up a first-round pick, a future first-round pick that was yours to get Vucevic. And I thought that sent a message to the fan base and to the NBA that, AK and Mark are not playing around. They're going to get this culture and change the culture of this team, this organization, to get it back so the fan base can trust it once again. And I will say this, this is the busiest summer the Bulls have had in a long time. Mm-hmm. Normally you're talking White Sox, the success the White Sox are having right now, a chance to win the whole thing. The Cubs and whatever happened over there with all their, the fire sale that they had, that was news. Justin Fields coming here, the excitement for the Bears finding a franchise quarterback. When have you ever talked about the Bulls this late in the summer? Not in a long time, probably since when Derrick Rose was here and those good teams were there. But this is the first summer the Bulls have been in anybody's conversation. People are excited to see what's happening. I can't tell you how many people walk up to me and say, I'm buying season tickets now because I like what the Bulls are doing. And I'm excited. I mean, this has been the most exciting thing for me since they drafted Derrick Rose. So I'm looking forward to it. And this is what they needed. This is what they needed: an infusion of new ideas, new energy, not taking anything away from Pax and Gar Forman. Pax's record speaks for itself as far as his drafts and everything he's done in organization, and not only being in the front office, but as a player too. So you can never underestimate that. But at the same time, bringing in a whole new regime that is just turned this organization into now everyone's talking about it. Everybody wants to see this team on the floor the first game. And there's so much buzz and excitement here in Chicago. I can't wait.
Stacey, I want to get into your Staceyisms. And they're voluminous. They read like poetry. And I want to know your process. Do you try to blend in a new one every once in a while just to see how it works? how often is it just literally from brain to mouth without much thought? And you go, ooh, I like that one. How much thought do you put into these great lines when there's a great play?
No thought. They're just, I'm just brain to mouth. They're as they happen, they're organic. You know, I have, if people follow me as a player, they know I'm very quick witted. Like I'm very quick witted. I can come up with something. I mean, a lot of my nicknames used to come up during pickup games. You know, I would give people nicknames during pickup games. You know, I would say little funny catchphrases then. So it's been a natural thing for me. And so what I've tried to do over the last few years is I've kind of ventured away from that, because a lot of times people get so focused on those things and not how good of an analyst I actually am. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you win the dunk contest, you know, 2 years in a row, there's only so many dunks that you can do better than the ones you did the ones when you won. So it's almost impossible to top that. And so I think every time I look around, everybody's like, you know, what are you going to come up with this time? What nickname are you going to come up to? And I'm like, honestly, I don't even think about it.
It just pops up. It really does.
It just pops up. It just shows up when it shows up.
The paw showed up. Like Patrick Williams has the perfect nickname, and it, like, Stacy just yelled it out like one game. It just popped up. And I'll say this just to back him up. I love everything Stacy says. I love the energy, but I make it a point anytime somebody asks to say, like, that's a very small percentage of what makes Stacy great at his job. It's a very small percentage, and it's a loud percentage. It's a fun one. It's the one that it's easy to latch onto. But and maybe that's what all, you know, if you go on YouTube and you're watching the highlights of your team and they're playing in Chicago and you get our call on these, you know, 10-minute highlight packages, yeah, you're going to hear Sriracha, you're going to hear Hot Sauce, and go, oh yeah, that's fun, I like that, or oh, this kind of, that's all it is. Watch a game, listen to this guy talk about the league and talk intelligently about every team that he sees every single night. We don't prepare anything. He knows that I'm going to come in with what I need, and I know that he's going to know everything that he needs to know, and we're going to blend it during the game. It's very organic, and it's one of the joys of doing the job, because it's not just the entertainment value. There's a lot of information and analysis that rivals any, I'll put it up with anybody in the league. And I say this honestly.
I think that's what makes you so good, Stacey, is because it is genuine. And I think the best lines are natural and they're not contrived, and it's never felt that way. So I'm not surprised by your answer. And I would also say you're like a great band that had one or two hits, and you go, yeah, those songs kind of get you into the catalog, but it's the, they have some better albums that you've never heard before. So yep. For me, your lines get people to say, oh, who's that? That's interesting. That's fun.
He's a walking concept album. I love that.
That's right. But no, you are a great analyst, but I do think those lines are wonderful. And I couldn't come up with any of them. I think they're amazing. Jim Boucher's, whom I worked with for 8 years with the Cubs, is similar in that he'll just come up with a line and I'll be like, how did you think of that? And it's just, it comes from that.
Well, you guys are the same way, though. You and Jason are the same way. Like the line, captioning on television is really hard to do it well. I think it's easy to do okay. And I think I do it okay. I'm learning how to write on air as a broadcaster. I'm getting better at it just by volume, I hope. But you guys are so quick-witted in your positions, in your jobs. You know, Gavin Sheets hit the home run. I just remember the highlight, Jason, when he hit the second one. It's his first game back from AAA. And he said that White Sox uniform looks good on him after the second. And it's not anything that's going to, like, just on paper that's, you know, we're not putting it up there with, you know, settle down, Robert Frost. But it's just, it's the perfect line for the moment. I thought your intro for the Virginia Tech game, I flipped that on. It was just really well done. And you guys do a fantastic job at that. Len, you know, the calls you had over the years with the Cubs, and I've told you the stories about how they were my ringtone for a long time because I just appreciated them so much. You guys are great at that. So I wouldn't sell yourself short either.
Use it. I think, Apple pencil. It's really helpful.
See, I think the most, I honestly though, too, Len, I think the most important thing is to be who you are. You know, people, if you saw me in the supermarket, I'm the same way. You know, if you saw me out on the street, I'm the same way. I got a great personality. I'm a people person. And what I try to do is bring an energy to the game that I remember when I first started this, and I told this story the other day on the White Sox game, they, or in the White Sox podcast, other way. But I remember this old head told me when back when I first started that I couldn't do that. Like you can't do that. You can't be, it's not a comedy hour. You can't do that. You got to call it straight lace. And I'm like, I just looked at him like, you know, that's what makes everybody different. I'm going to do it my way. And I'm going to do it how I would do it, not how you would do it. And that's the difference. And it's funny watching these guys over the years. I have so many on the street, we call it biting your style. I got a few people that bite my style big time in the NBA that say things that I say, that take my sayings and use them on the national broadcast stage, which is funny. And it's flattering at the same time. I don't get upset about it, but it's pretty cool looking at people do that.
Hey, yeah, the only people who bite my style are at a Magic the Gathering convention or are extras on Big Bang Theory.
You know what, though? Being genuine is huge, especially in Chicago. Here, they really want you to be yourself. And I think you are rewarded with a lot of loyalty for being yourself in this great city. And Stacey, I want to follow up with you because a great former player who has become a great analyst in baseball was once given this advice. At some point, people are going to forget that you played. And that's always a fine line for a former athlete, especially one of your stature, because you should be proud of your playing career. However, to be really good as a broadcaster, you need to be a broadcaster first and a former player second. How do you feel about that when people may know you as the Bulls broadcaster and may not even remember that you ever played?
That's really never bothered me. You know, I look at it as being in my personal, the way I look at it is, you know, doing one thing, being successful in it, going to the next project, working your butt off and trying to be successful in that. I want people to say, hey, there's Stacey King, the broadcaster from the Bulls. And then they happen to Wikipedia me and go, oh, wait a minute. I didn't know he was a two-time All-American at the University of Oklahoma, played for the national championship, won three titles with the Bulls. Oh, my God. Like, this guy's done a lot in his time. So I've never really – my ego is normal. I don't get egos and, you know, I don't have ego like that. I'm just happy people know who you are. It's like, you know, it's when they forget, Lynn, when they forget you did anything is when you need to worry about it.
Right. But it is a compliment when they know you as the broadcaster first.
Yes, it is.
Because if you're always the former Bull, if you're just the former Bull, you're going to be like, hey,
yeah,
I'm on the air every day.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And I'm truly humbled by it. I mean, we work in the best city in the world, in my opinion. I got really lucky. I got lucky to be drafted by the Bulls, to be part of that special three-peat, be part of a special championship team, and then to be able to land, you know, in a dream job, you know, and coming up behind, you know, Johnny Red Kerr. You know, I was always told, you don't want to be the guy coming up behind the guy. You know, that's what they always said. And sometimes, Lynn, as you know, you don't have a choice. You know, you got to go where you got to go. And, you know, being able to at Johnny's last couple of years and learn under him and watch him. And I mean, Johnny was big as a player for me. I love Johnny. Johnny was really great to me. And then when I came in as a broadcaster, you know how old guys sometimes can say, get out of here, the young lion, get away, I'm not ready to go. He really embraced me. He really embraced me and took me in and really showed me the ropes and really made me feel comfortable in that transition, you know. And it's tough when you come behind a Mount Rushmore legend like that, man. It's very, very difficult. But if you got that legend welcoming you in and opening the door, and then people can see that he's welcoming you in and that you're not there to replace, you're there to help, you know, per se. And he really made my transition to broadcasting so easy. And he's missed every day. I hope that when I'm that age, you know, people will look at me as though they do Red, you know, and put me up there with those guys when I'm done, you know, because I tell you what, man, you know, you talk about Harry Carey, you talk about all the, you know, Hawk Harrelson, all these guys who are legendary, you know, figures in Chicago and one of the best sports cities in America, man, that's an awesome thing. And we're all part of it now. You know, we're on our infancy stages, a little bit past our infancy stages, but you know, we're in that pipeline and it's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty wild perspective there, Stacy. I didn't know we were going to get that deep, but that's
it was nice. Wasn't that
hit me?
Nice?
That hit me right here, brother.
See? Little introspection from our man here.
Come on, JB. You know I'm deep.
But you guys know what that's like too. I mean, you guys stepped into roles that are revered. And again, I'm sure every role in this city, like Stacy said, is held up to a certain standard. And I think it's important to live up to that standard, whatever. And Jason is Jason. He's not Hawk. Len's not Harry or Chip or anybody that came before him. Or
you got to be bleeping me. But I love it when you analyze.
You guys are going to be Hall of Famers because of how you guys work, and that's a testament to you, and it's to all three of you. I'm very lucky to share space with the three of you.
Oh, Steven, you're great at what you do too. Yes, I'm not gonna suffer this.
Foot around that. He's great at what Jason
doesn't want to hear it. Jason doesn't want to hear.
Yeah, but see, you just said I'm authentic, and the authentic me is gonna cut you off five words into that. Yeah.
Way to go,
it's
baby.
Good to know this. It's good to know. It's good to know the true colors are coming out now. That's right.
You're great at what you do too. I'm not gonna sit there and deal with that garbage.
No, wait, hey. Seriously, we're very lucky. I was talking to someone about this the other day when they asked me this question, and he was like, man, you guys have some of the best broadcasters in the country as far as every sport. Like, you guys, you're one of the one few cities that actually have really good guys all the way down the board. That's a compliment, man. And like I said, for myself to even be mentioned in any of this conversation with all you guys, you know, I'm humble, and I'm happy to be in Chicago. I couldn't think of any other city, because there's the guys that spend their whole career trying to get to a big city. You know, they start off in small markets, and then they try to work their way up. I was very blessed because Jerry Krause really believed in me, and the Bulls and Steve Shanwald believed in me to put me in a big market. I mean, I fell out of the tree into a big market, and I've been in a big market my whole life, and it's awesome. It's awesome.
Hey, what were you doing up in a tree?
You know, I was chasing the money, baby. I was trying to get the money, and I fell out the tree.
Hey, this is what I love about you. The first game we did, I barely made it to tip off without laughing.
Yeah. It's hard, man. This guy is entertaining as all.
No, JB, I'm gonna stop you there. The authentic me is gonna stop you there. Okay.
Yeah.
This first game that we do, I swear to God, I thought I was at Wimbledon. It was back and forth, ping, ping, ping. I mean, I would say something, he was zinging back. I would say something, he was zinging back. I got so tired, I tapped out. I was like, yo, man, you won, bro.
You guys, are great. It's one of my favorite traits in other human beings, legitimately. Is the ability to yes and. Like, if you can play with somebody in that regard, and you can play, you can keep up, there's nothing more fun in this medium, especially in sports, to be able to find a good yes and partner. And that's as important as anything. People talk about how do you quantify chemistry? Like, oh, you know, JB and Steve have great chemistry. Adam and Stacey, Len and DJ have great chemistry. How do you quantify that? Frankly, it's just having a partner that's on the same level of yes anding you, honestly.
That's right. No, that's right. Adam, how important for you in your career and your life was it to become a local voice, because you have such a national platform in all these sports, to be the TV voice of the Bulls, and to kind of have that a little bit of both worlds, so to speak?
I imagine Jason has a similar kind of track with this, because we started out.
No, I never wanted to do anything that you did.
How do I pick up from there? Yeah, we're in a convenience store. No, we're not. That's what we did.
Stacy was shoveling Starburst into my mouth to get me to shut up.
I think that's good thing that we are in separate rooms. Otherwise, I'd be reaching over to steal them. But I think like Jason and I started more nationally than we did locally at this level, so to speak. Like, obviously he did minors, I did minors, but we were both at ESPN before we got a crack at something like this. So that's not typically how it was done. Typically you started local and try to work your way to the national side. And it was strange kind of jumping in at that point at 24 to be a national broadcaster. Cause you go, all right, this is it, right? This is the peak. This is what everybody tells you and what you watch growing up. You want to be on the national game. That's the pinnacle of this business. And there's some truth to that, certainly. But I think what I realize more is I just want to do stuff that people care about. I think that's part of the reason I left ESPN and went to a place like Fox, just because it's NFL, Major League Baseball, two things that people really care about, pro sports, the same way I did growing up here. I didn't grow up in South Bend. I didn't grow up in Lawrence. I didn't grow up in Tallahassee, where you are, you know, connected with the local college that has high level programs. I'm from here. So I watched the Cubs and Sox and the Bulls and Hawks and Bears growing up. And to me, that was the pinnacle. So when I had the opportunity to finally move on to something like that, it didn't matter that it was a local job. It was the Chicago Bulls. It was an NBA team. And it just meant the world to me because it was where where the highest level of connectivity for me was. I told the story the other night, Jason and I were the last two guys down for the Sox job. And I was disappointed that I didn't get it. And I didn't realize I'd be as disappointed as I was because, well, you know, I got the ESPN job. What do I care? And I thought, no, I want to work here in my city. And again, I to finish off, you know, put a bow on that. I was so thankful after a while, especially after seeing Jason in his first full year, going, that's the guy for the job. I'm so thankful that he got that, because the same reason that I feel connected to the Bulls, Jason feels that way about the White Sox. And you learn more about his story and the background of it and how connected he was to this team. It makes all the sense in the world. And I think all of us kind of ended up right where we're supposed to be. And that's a really hard feeling to find in this business. And I'm really happy that it kind of worked out the way that it did, because we both fill in for each other and but we're in the sport that we both kind of are more like the teams that we're so connected to. It's a big deal. And I don't take that for granted. I really don't.
I agree with you, Adam. I think it's really cool that we can jump in for each other and that we can moonlight with people. But here's what I think when I look at these boxes, it's not even as much I want to do local. I want to do national. I love the Sox. I love it dearly. I don't want to go anywhere else. Let me be very clear about that.
Yep.
I love working with people who challenge me mentally and make me have a good time. And everybody in this in these boxes on this call do that. When Len and I do games together, Adam, you and I have never done a game together, but I imagine it would be a brilliantly fun time. And then Stacy, the times we've gotten to moonlight to do that, you know, dozen, 15 times, whatever. Dude, I love working with you. You make me smile. You make me think. And if you can, whoever's listening to this, if you can get that in life where you have people around you who you love listening to, you love building on what they do and they make you better.
Yeah.
There is nothing better than that in the entire world. And I am not kidding.
It's hard. It is so hard to find that. And all of us have mentored young broadcasters who want to do what we do. And the hardest thing to explain to them is it's a process. Obviously it's a longer process than you might realize, but at the end of the day, if you enjoy it, you have to love this. And part of loving this is loving the people that you're with. And that's something that I'm very thankful for, especially here, is that we get to work with people that genuinely just make us happy to do the job and to be around. It's a lot harder to come by than people realize.
We're going to have a soap opera before this podcast is over.
Do we need, I have tissues somewhere. I don't know if
I was going to say, anybody got any tissue? I was going to ask my puppy. Geez. Go grab me some.
Hey, here we go. I got a whole box for us.
Yes. Yes. So Stacy, we often see bullpens around the league, and I often talk about power forwards because every bullpen guy now is 6'6", 260. If there's a White Sox player who you think would be, other than Tim Anderson, because that's kind of the obvious choice, he was a good basketball player in high school, but who would be the best basketball player without having seen any of these guys play?
Oh, man. Jimenez, probably because of his size. I mean, he looks like he could bang and get some rebounds, physical presence, be a stretch four in the NBA, because it's no longer the 6'9", 6'10 guys in the NBA now. It's more of a small ball type game. I like Garcia, the shortstop. Go Garcia, as I gave him his nickname the other day.
Yeah,
he might be a good change of pace guard, coming in, picking up full court, try to get steals, turn the guard a little bit, turn him loose. You know, that he'd be the perfect, you know, go Garcia. He'd be the perfect nickname for a Bulls player. So, yeah, I'd say those two guys.
You're saying he's got a little Shaq Harrison in him or what?
He, you know what? He showed me some athleticism when he jumped up and snagged that ball that was a sure hit in the gap, probably a double, and he robbed that guy, and it was an athletic play. So I was like, man, he might be able to transcend over to the basketball side with those hops.
Yeah. My last question, we do this all the time in baseball. We come up with, if you were commissioner, could change one rule or one thing about the game, what would it be? So Adam and Stacy, I'll ask you guys, if you could tweak the NBA with one rule or one change in the game, court dimensions, height of the rim, you know, any big picture stuff, what would you ponder?
Man, it's a great question. There is something to be said about, I like it personally, but I would be curious what it'd be like to not advance the ball on timeouts late in games. Because there is something, the argument to be made in the college game is that it increases the pace of the final play, the kind of pressure of it, the kind of urgency of it. I don't think we necessarily need that in the NBA just because I think most of the game is urgent anyway. But I think there is something to that, and it might prevent some late game timeouts. I think they've done a good job, actually, in terms of timing. The games have gotten a little bit longer, but I think they've actually done some good things to remedy that. But I'd be curious about what that rule would do if it was applied.
I have a couple. One mainly is let it be more physical, you know, where you can actually get up and really put pressure on guards, put hands on people like they did in the 90s, you know, and alleviate some of these, you know, these guys who are just able to get to wherever they want to with no pressure. I like the physicality of the game. I think it adds a dimension that is missed. I think I'd like to see that back. And then my second thing I'd like to see them change, if they would, is to start the season on Christmas Day. Start the season on Christmas Day. No, yes. When we started this past year due to COVID, I thought that was the best thing. I thought that was something they really need to take a look at. Because, you know, most people don't start really watching NBA games till Christmas Day anyway. So you can have every single team play on Christmas, but you still have your marquee games. And you start there and you end, you know, you end like we did this year. And, you know, this year is going to be tough. And I hope no one is going to be affected by injuries because of the year-round play that these guys had. There was really no off time. I mean, the finals was done, and then they went straight to the Olympics. And, you know, now we're getting ready to start up here in the for preseason and getting ready to go through 82 games. It's going to be tough. And I hope every team's able to get through this year. Not only do we have to worry about COVID, but, you know, the injuries, you know, the injury factor. And last year you saw in the playoffs, you know, a lot of the key players did not play in the playoffs, which really kind of favored certain teams to get to the finals. You look at Milwaukee. If Brooklyn is healthy – Milwaukee doesn't get to the championship and win a championship possibly. And if Denver doesn't lose Murray, if, you know, Kawhi Leonard doesn't tear the knee up, then, you know, Phoenix may not get there. LeBron James, they're not a seventh seed in the Western Conference. They were injured. So a lot of things happened last year, and trying to keep these guys on the floor is really imperative this year.
Guys, thank you so much. Real quick before we let you go, you got 20 seconds to tell me about Mark Brady.
Brady, oh my gosh. I've never laughed more with a producer in my life. It's nice to have a producer that keeps it as light as Mark does, which in some of the games that you guys have done and in some of the games that we get to do is very important. It's essential at times. So, yes.
Yeah, he's very funny. I have to watch sometimes because – he talks in my ear where I'm talking, and I made a mistake one time of saying something that he said in my ear, and I got to be very careful when he's talking in my ear and telling me jokes while I'm trying to dissect a play. So, yeah. But he's a great producer.
Yes.
We will have Mark Brady on the podcast. Now we have to do it, Jason.
Oh, we need to have producer week.
You got to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Withers and Brady together. I love it.
Nice.
Thanks, boys.
Adam,
love you guys.
Stacey King.
Thank you.
Wonderful Bulls announcers, NBC Sports Chicago. Thank you, Jen.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.